This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 11th of December 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. And as it's Friday, we'll be talking film. Up for discussion today, we have The Christmas Pilgrimage of a Homeless Hero in Hector. We'll be reviewing By the Sea, written, directed and starring Angelina Jolie. And we'll end with the Ron Howard blockbuster based on the true story that inspired the classic novel Moby Dick. That's all to come right here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. To discuss this trio of films, I'm joined in studio by film critic Anna Smith. First up, we're going to talk about Hector, the debut feature film by photographer Jake Gavin, which shows our eponymous hero as he travels down motorways from Scotland to London. Anna, can you set up who is Hector and why is he on this journey?
Well, he's a bit of a mysterious figure. He's one of these characters who we meet. We see him go about his daily life, but we don't really know what has brought him here. So here is on the road. Here is homeless. He has no fixed abode, but he's clearly got a great sense of pride. We watch him go from motorway services to cafes, deal with people in a very kind and generous nature, and always, you know, keeps himself smart as he can. He has nice friends on the road. He's clearly been there for a while. And over the course of the film, we find out what brought him to this situation.
Well, let's have a little listen to a clip from the film now.
Just slow down and let me off, all right?
I can't.
What?
The brakes are buggered. Hey, you!
Victor!
Really give me a heart attack.
Did you fall out with your brother?
No, I never fell out with him. Fell out with life.
That was a clip from the film Hector. Now we can hear the Scottish accent there. Is this a quintessentially Scottish social realist film?
It feels realistic to me. It certainly feels authentic. Peter Mullen, as you know, is a terrific actor who brings a great sense of credibility to every role he does and a great passion. And you sense that, you know, he's kind of given this new filmmaker a break by, you know, lending his name to the film, but also given his all to the role. It's realism, but as you got from the soundtrack there as well, there's a little bit of a folksy music. There's a little bit of humour, levity. It's not wholly depressing. There's an upbeat tone to it. And what I liked about it is often it focuses on some of the more positive sides of being homeless and life on the road and the sort of camaraderie that envelops them, and particularly around Christmas when this is set, when he goes to a hostel and he knows all the people there and they see each other every year. Keith Allen pops in for a cameo. That there is a bit of comedy as well. It's not just not all bleak.
The director we mentioned works as a photographer. He's known for beautiful landscapes, intimate portraits. Does this carry through in the cinematography of the film?
It does, I think. I mean, it's not necessarily focusing on the most beautiful parts of Britain or a wonderful landscape, but he's clearly got a very good eye. And, even the motorways look rather beautiful in this film. I think I like the concentration and the slow pace, the focus on detail, whether it's in a little roadside cafe or in a van, that it's focusing on quite fascinating little things that all tell a story.
Homelessness, very serious, very fundamental issue, especially at Christmas time. I'm interested in your thoughts on how fiction, a film like this, can treat the subject in a way that documentary sometimes maybe can't.
Yeah, well, I think what was nice is this didn't feel patronising, which sometimes films can do when they sort of over-sentimentalise the predicament, perhaps, which we see a little bit more in Hollywood. But yes, I mean, documentaries can be more hard-hitting, and clearly, as we got from the comedy there, that this has a light touch. But perhaps, it makes it more accessible subject for people who might not think very hard about the predicament that people are in. So, a big-name actor like Peter Mullen doing it, it's got to help the cause, I hope.
Well, Hector is out today in the UK and will be rolling out internationally and on the festival circuit in the coming months. Let's move on to our next film now. By the Sea is another lowish budget film, but this one features two of Hollywood's biggest stars, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. It was, in fact, written, directed by Jolie, and it chronicles the disintegration of a marriage. Now, this is the first time in 10 years since the couple have appeared together, their last film being the rather steaming and, to all accounts, marriage-wrecking Mr. and Mrs. Anna, comparisons will inevitably be made.
With Mr. and Mrs. Smith, yes, doubtless. I have to say, Mr. and Mrs. Smith was a lot more fun. This is rather doleful, you know. Okay, you know, it's certainly got pretensions to be an art house film. It does look absolutely beautiful, I'll give her that for sure. It's a very glamorous, you know, couple on a Mediterranean holiday lounging around, but they are absolutely miserable. And I don't have any problem with films where nothing much happens, but there doesn't seem to be a great deal of insight into their psyche here, onto what is actually going on.
Well, let's have a listen to what this misery sounds like. Here is a clip from the film.
Are we ever going to talk about it?
Nessa?
Do you hate me?
You know my reason.
Do you want to hurt me?
You're nothing.
Hurt me? Come on!
A clip from the film By the Sea. Now, I mean, you can sense there it's very raw, rather personal in many ways. Does it feel at all voyeuristic?
Yes, and indeed they take that a step further because we're watching them, but at the same time, probably the most interesting thing that happens in the film is that there's a sort of peephole through to the next hotel room where there's a young couple having their honeymoon and Jolie's character starts watching them voyeuristically. So we're watching them, and you know, that's kind of an interesting idea, and I think it could have been quite erotic in other circumstances. But it's filmed in a very cold sort of manner, and it's almost cartoonish. It doesn't feel very believable, to be honest.
You touched a bit on how it looks beautiful. It's a bit of a period 70s piece. Can you talk maybe a little bit about, you know, the kind of production design, the costumes, the look?
Well, it looks like a tribute to the films of yesteryear. You know, I mean, from the cars to the clothes, everything is designer. You know, even the little French cafes look like they were painted. You know, it's a stunning looking film, beautifully shot. But it feels more like a perfume advert, you know, or something for a designer advert. And the fact that Jolie now looks so extraordinary. I mean, she's very beautiful, but there's something slightly alienly beautiful about her.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to buy her as this kind of raw personality.
I mean, people have been criticising it, saying it's a bit of a vanity project. And yet then again, she is not portraying herself or her husband really in a vain way.
No, exactly. I think vanity is the wrong word, because if they were trying to look terribly wonderful and glamorous, they would do it differently. I think good for them for trying to do something a bit arty and different, but unfortunately it comes off as a little bit pretentious and try hard.
It does say that it was written by Angelina Jolie, but there's not much script, I gather. Do the two actors carry the silences well on screen through their acting?
I mean, they're both good actors, and you know, he does his best. He spends most of the time getting drunk, his character, and he's good being drunk, but to what end? You know, they just sort of shout at each other, and there's not much substance here.
By the Sea has now been released in North America and across Europe, and soon will be rolling out in Asia and Latin America. And finally, Anna, let's talk about In the Heart of the Sea, a blockbuster featuring Chris Hemsworth that is based on the true story that inspired Moby Dick. It seems like a bit of a good old-fashioned adventure film, but how does Ron Howard run with the original story?
Well, it opens with the writer of Moby Dick, sort of played by Ben Whishaw, who's a great actor, of course, interviewing a survivor from the shipwreck and talking, played by Brendan Gleeson. And then it flashes back to the action of the past, starring the strapping Chris Hemsworth as the first mate, who's rather disgruntled because he's not the captain. So various politics unfold as they set off on the voyage. And then, you know, more pressing concerns come along in the shape of a very large whale.
Well, let's get a little bit of a teaser now. Here is a clip from In the Heart of the Sea.
Normally, a captain gets to choose his first mate.
An experienced captain, yes.
Centuries before, sailors feared sailing off the edge of the earth.
All hands on deck!
But we were headed for the edge of sanity.
A clip from Ron Howard's In the Heart of the Sea. Now, the film had reportedly a $100 million budget. How do we see this on screen? People are talking about the extraordinary visual effects.
Absolutely. If you sit towards the front of the screen in this, either 2D or 3D, you will feel enveloped by the sea. I almost felt seasick. Don't go if you're feeling a bit queasy, because you really feel the rocking of the boat, you know, and the lashing of the waves. It's almost all-consuming. And if you want to feel like you're really at sea, it does the job. Maybe not everyone does, but it's very effective, yes. Obviously a lot of visual effects, but also a great deal of time and money spent, you know, on the actual filming, you know, in camera stuff. So yeah, visually very impressive.
And what about the talent? Let's look at the casting here. How is Chris Hemsworth in the leading role?
He's good. You know, he strikes you as the salty sea type, you know, and he does it well. I think he's more effective when he's on the ship than when he's shipwrecked. Even though he lost weight, he's still a little bit on the bulky side, I think, to be convincingly shipwrecked. But no, he's great. I think he's someone you warm to. You know, he's an enjoyable actor. Cillian Murphy's good as well. He's also in it. Young Tom Holland, who's the new Spider-Man, he plays as the sort of young boy aboard who's kind of wide-eyed and learning, you know, the hard way. So it's a strong cast.
Anything surprising about the telling of this Moby Dick story?
Well, I think the whale was possibly not as exciting as I was hoping. It's more the destruction caused by the whale than the actual whale, without giving too much away. And while I found the sort of disaster aspect very interesting, there are quite long periods where it wasn't particularly interesting to me. So I guess a surprising thing would be that it wasn't perhaps as gripping as I was hoping.
And what about on the subject of international whaling? Does it, between the lines, between the frames, does it have some kind of message that it sends out as people leave the cinema? Is that looking too deep?
I think it's almost too historic to be sending a message in that way. But it certainly shows the grisly side of it, that's for sure.
The film was released, I think, a week before the Star Wars, the much anticipated Star Wars. Is that a clever move or is it still too close? Is it just going to be swamped by the Star Wars fever?
Most releases are running scared of Star Wars, and this one found a spot and went for it bravely. But I wish it luck. It's difficult, isn't it? You know, there will be some people who can't get into Star Wars, or very few who don't want to go, and maybe they'll give this a whirl.
Well, In the Heart of the Sea is out now in Brazil, Italy, Australia, and will soon be released here in the UK and in Japan. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Anna Smith, thanks as always for joining us in studio. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian De Baez. My producers were Holly Fisher and Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time on Monday when we'll be talking art. But for now, bye-bye and thanks for listening.